Welcome to Thing Making, an audio podcast for, about, and by people who make things. So today on Thing Making, I'm talking with Ken Evans, designer. But I know that Ken's much more than that. After having a career and still creating work after so long, one of the founding members of Handspan Puppet Theatre, and most recently doing site-specific work left, right and centre. So a great place to start with Ken, I think, is how he sees some of the changes that have taken place in puppet theatre in Australia over the last 20 years since when you first started.
Wow, it's radical, isn't it? It's a massive change. When we started, it was all handmade, really small portable stuff. We quickly moved into large-scale stuff. Didn't change, though. It just got bigger. And then since, you know, the digital revolution, it just hasn't, nothing stopped.
Has it changed your designing process?
No, not really. Haven't worked a lot with animatronics or anything like that. Mm. It's all been hands, handmade and handwork stuff. So no real revolutions in technology. Have worked with digital projection, though. That's been really interesting, yeah.
What's interesting about that for you?
Well, with the work that we've used it for, it adds just a whole other depth that we can't achieve. The most recent work have been, you know, site-specific stuff. Yeah. So to be able to add digital projection into that, it can fill a whole lot of story that we can't do outdoors. Mm. You could probably do a lot better indoors in a theatre. But just suddenly grand scale, you know, grand scale imagery. That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And in designing, the last show we did with Grassland, it was designing vast vistas. So it sort of allowed us to create, you know, huge skies and then change it and really meld it with the live action.
Yeah. So you've been working with your creative and otherwise partner, Rebecca Russell, doing site-specific work. And as you said, you can create these vistas. But you did that before with lighting. So I'm just wondering what it is about the projection then that has added something, or what are the challenges with working with projection over lighting?
It's always getting a balance between the two is the main thing. We have worked with a video artist, so it takes a lot of the worry out of all the technical.
Yeah.
But able to give impetus, you know, like with working with makers, you can give an impetus into style or feel or texture. It's the same thing, only we're influencing an audience with a really big image that works with a live image, yeah? But in designing for that sort of stuff, it's just allowed us to go bigger, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, and also the whole fascination of putting projection outdoors is a real treat too. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you can have a screen and then imagery, and it's just wonderful. It's a really magical moment outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think audiences respond really well to it too. What's exciting for you about your projects that you're working on now? What are you excited about?
Well, it's like taking away everything you know and having to learn it all again by walking into the site.
So every time it's different for you. Every time is exciting because the site is different every time.
And it's so capricious. It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
From the conception until the final product. Because you're working with elements and all sorts of wonderful difficulties, you know. You're either sweating or you're in mud, you know.
It's nice that you talk about them as being wonderful.
Well, it is. It's that, you know, theatre is unpredictable and that's what we play with. And I think we love the adrenaline and we love the unknown because the unknown is what we work well with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We can have an image and a concept and a vision but it's still unknown.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's sailing a boat, really. Mm.
What do you think puppeteers have to bring to the table that's different, perhaps, or a different approach or a different style to regular theatre?
I think they see bigger pictures all the time. I think because they work with imagery and making pictures, that they can understand the whole complexity of other things that are going around them.
Okay,
And I know that's what I've learnt within it, that to create one small image or one big image, it takes so much backstage stuff or unseen. And I think it's the engineering, for me it's always been the engineering, of how to make a spectacular image or make a puppet live. It's all about that engineering. I mean, in designing puppets, I sort of almost don't know what it looks like at the end product, and aim for the end product. But then it comes down to how it's going to work. What does it have to do? You know, it's all the major questions. What does it have to do? All that stuff, all that questioning about what the object has to do. But then I can over-design. I can almost know how I'm going to hold the puppet's hand when it's made.
Is that because you're a designer and you've been an operator and a director, so you're multifaceted in that way, so you're thinking of the bigger picture, but you're also thinking really practically about, as you said, how to hold a puppet.
Yeah, and how to get it on, how to get it off, how will it appear? And all of that affects the design and the materials and the making and all that sort of stuff, and the staging.
Yeah.
But so I think puppeteers can see that. I think puppeteers can see a bigger picture in it all because they have to work with so much stuff.
Yeah. And you have to be expedient with that when you're designing, because you know what it's like if you've got a great, beautifully looking object that you're operating, but it's really heavy or it's going to break really easily.
Yeah.
So you do think about all those things. And I think sometimes people who haven't operated the object that they're going to design miss out on that added bit of information.
Absolutely.
It really affects the people who are going to ultimately operate that object.
Yeah. And so it's once you have the object too, it always comes, when the puppeteer's got it, you know, it changes anyway. The puppet tells you what to do, or it can do, you know, and the puppeteer responds to that and then takes the simplest into the most beautiful, you know, extension of all those ideas.
How does the puppeteer allow the object to dictate the action?
Oh, well, that's the whole magic of puppetry. It's almost you forget you're doing it as the puppeteer. And it, you know, there's a point. I guess it's like in a band or singing or songwriting and performing, and an actor too, when you're one with the audience, it's that same one with the object. You actually become the object, and the object can lead you, you know. You will discover that it can do something, and from that, almost by accident, it continues. You know, it's a whole... It's really tricky.
Yeah, it is really tricky, and I wonder whether puppeteers have an ability to listen to material when they're making an object and following the path, the natural course of working with material.
Yeah, well, see, a lot of the time material suggests things to me. Like, I collect a whole lot of objects or find things, and then suddenly that whatever I'm making or any design project that comes up, I'll suddenly remember something I've got in the shed which will work perfectly for this object and then build it around that. So it might start from a found object. Yeah.
Right.
Other times, you know, making a standard puppet or a real puppet, it's really formalised, you know, which is really nice, but I rather work with a technician. I work with a lot of puppet makers who know all of that.
Yeah.
I don't have to relearn the nose joints or the knee joints and all that sort of stuff.
But
objects stimulate a whole lot of interest and also can create a whole new way of thinking about how to make something, you know.
Yeah.
It's through found objects, you know, reverse garbage sort of stuff.
Yeah, they seem to have a story of their own as well, and even things that are battered or damaged, maybe it adds to their history of where they've come from. And
adapting a lot of the time, because You know, when you haven't got a lot of money to build, you can adapt things. So you find something that will work that's not what you haven't. It's not what you need, but it's what you've got, so you can make it work, you know.
Yeah.
I love that sort of, that free form in the workshop.
Yeah.
And it's just barreling for one thing. I could use that.
Yes.
You know.
Have you got some favourite objects that, that you've liked to work with in the past or that have stayed with you for a while?
Oh. No, well, as I said, the medium's changed here. There's nothing favourite anymore. It's out here, and we're not remote.
You're talking about country Victoria.
Having moved to central Victoria, there's a whole new palette of stuff.
Yeah, like what?
Like, just look out the window.
Farm equipment.
Steam traction engines, you know.
Yes.
You see one of those and you think, God, that'd be good in a show.
Well, you did do a show.
Exactly like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And it stimulated, suddenly a 90-ton steam shovel became a wonderful object, and why couldn't we use that? Yeah?
Yeah.
The last show was about grasses, and we kept on seeing these fields of grass, and we were entranced by it and the light and all that sort of stuff. So that became a show about grasslands and the people who live in this area. And the next one is, hopefully, the next one is another elemental thing. It's about fire and about trees.
Yeah.
It's called 600 Degrees.
Right.
100 Years of Shade. Now, all over the countryside at this point in time, there are 100-year-old trees starting to fall over.
Right.
They were planted, you know, 1890s to 1914.
Okay.
And they line people's driveways and their windbreaks for sheep and all that sort of stuff. And unceremoniously and without celebration, they're cut, set fire to and forgotten. So I thought, we can't let that go by. We've got to have a show around it. So we're building an idea around burning 100-year-old timber that's been in the landscape for 100 years. So it's suddenly seeing new things in the landscape that we could turn into theatre. When I say we, it's either I or her who's driving one certain idea. But it's all that sort of stuff, you know. Suddenly something out here will spark.
Yeah.
You know, it's the light on, you know, a light on the hillside, the light on the trees, it's all that sort of stuff. So suddenly the medium has changed. And with puppetry and puppetry based, but with visual theatre, you can turn all of this into another, you know, grand stage.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. That's really exciting.
Yeah. So you're being constantly inspired by the natural environment around you and the materials that come from that as well.
Yeah.
Like you said, all the found objects or the trees that are there. And I'm just wondering, because you also make puppets, you know, what sort of material do you like to work with and why? If you had to choose out of anything, really.
Something that's easy to cut.
Something that's easy to cut. Paper.
I don't have a favourite. Timber's always good. It's always worth knowing working with timber. And, you know, like the technology I've updated myself with is a little air compressor nail gun and a pop rivet gun, all those sort of things just to make the usual things much easier. There's no real favourite, I don't think. It changes every time.
Yeah. And the video projection, because the video projection is pre-recorded and digital, so it's not organic. So even though the content of and some of the materials that you're working with are organic, inspired by the natural landscape, the video projection you're working with isn't. Do you find those two different mediums in contrast to each other or complement each other?
Oh, they complement. Because they're in contrast, I reckon. With the video, you can control it, right? You can do all sorts of stuff to create the image you're in, the feeling that you want. But in an open landscape, in a site-specific site, it's so unpredictable. And I think putting the both of them together is a great challenge and, you know, scares you like crazy.
Yeah.
But I just like that incredible juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just looking to the future now, what would you like to be doing or what would you like to see in terms of puppetry in Australia?
to continue.
Yeah.
I think it's reached a point where it's okay to say you're a puppeteer.
Right.
You know, without a giggle or without somebody else giggling or going, yeah. Because, you know, with all the big shows, you know, like all the dinosaur shows, Kong, all that sort of stuff, it's taken puppetry out of our little realm, and the dinosaur thing, you know, it's suddenly put it into stadiums.
Huge. Mm.
And so therefore it's much more acceptable. It's really interesting. I've got to tell you the story. I did a puppet TV arts education in Adelaide for 2 years, right? It's totally unseen, under the radar. Nobody saw it. And Jude and one of his mates who was 8 was watching Star Wars. And I said, that's Yoda. And Yoda's a puppet. It was when Yoda was a puppet. He wasn't a digital image.
Yeah.
And Jude said, yeah. And his mate said, what's a puppet? And I had to explain, it's a puppet. You know, that's how you work them and that sort of stuff. And I said, I'll show you one of mine. And they sat down, both 8-year-olds, marvelled at the fact that it was just a mouth puppet, right? Overhead, reverse scan, TV, watching, reading a script in a ridiculous position for 8 hours a day, you know. But they were. He was incredulous. You know, he's incredulous. He couldn't believe that it wasn't digital. You know, and there was all that stuff came from puppetry. But anyway, now with all those dragon shows, all that other stuff, I think it's put it much more into the realm of the general public.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder where we'll go in the future.
Yeah.
With the technology that's available in terms of animatronics and voodoo controls and so on.
Yeah, well, just large scale arena stuff. I mean, it's just wide open.
Good luck with any future projects. So you've got to actually just talk about that. You've got a future project in a black box, in an actual theatre space coming up, which is a bit different for you considering all the recent work that you've been doing in site-specific performances. So what are you looking forward to about getting back into a theatre now?
Well, it'll be warm. It's controlled. And it's pretty damn good. It's got fly towers. It's got everything that we need. And a wonderful automated controlled environment using all the tricks that, you know, one has learned with scrims and, you know, all this butte stuff. And the other thing is that moving back into the theatre after a little while, there's a whole new evolution of digital lighting now, you know, LED lighting.
Yes.
And the LED lighting blows out of theatre. Where we needed 98 lights, you know, 30 years ago in the theatre, you can do it in 10, you know.
Yeah.
And the lights are incredible. You can do projections with these lights. You can do all sorts of things, moving lights, you know. It's just wonderful to get into a theatre and having all that.
Again.
Again. Yeah. But just the next phase of it all, it's great.
It's interesting, actually, because just before we finish, you did say earlier that although some things have changed in terms of new technology, some things are still the same.
Mm.
And so what do you think is still the same about puppetry now as it was, you know, back when you were doing Punch and Judy booth work?
Mm. Well, it's still the same in that we still have to convince our audience that this thing is real. Right?
Yeah.
We're giving you some magic here and it's still the same, doesn't matter how big it is. You still have to create the environment and create the feeling and give life to these things to convince our audience to take them with them.
Yeah.
Take them with us. So that hasn't changed. So it still comes back to, you know, a really beautiful idea and really realization of all of that stuff.
Yeah.
To create that magic.
And animating the inanimate.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Ken Evans, thank you very much for talking. And good luck with all your future projects.
Thank you.